Islam and Women, Misconceptions and Misperceptions. Foreword. The stance of Islam regarding certain issues relating to women has remained a hot subject of debate, especially in the last few centuries. Although Islam does not support the basic tenets of the feminist movement, it must be conceded that this movement has served to create awareness in the educated Muslim women regarding some of the viewpoints that are presented to them by the clergy under the label of Islam. A careful study of these issues would show that many controversies regarding the stance of Islam on women have arisen because of misunderstanding the view of Islam in this regard. In recent times, the works of Hamiduddin Farahi, Amin Ehsan Islahi, and Javed Ahmed Ghamidi have attempted to clarify the stance of the Islamic Sharia on various issues. Most of the clarifications presented in this booklet are based on their research. In some cases, I have attempted to clarify an issue keeping in view their overall approach. No research is final. Being a human endeavor, it can never be without blemishes. However, every new research needs to be given a serious thought. We would therefore request our readers to critically evaluate the ideas presented and weigh the arguments that are proffered in the light of reason and revelation. All footnotes and text citation standards are in accordance with the 14th edition of the Chicago Manual of Style. Shahzad Saleem, Al-Mawrid, Lahore, December 2009. Text of the book. There exist a number of misconceptions regarding the stance of Islam on women. Before these misconceptions and misperceptions are discussed, it seems essential that some space be devoted to an age-old question regarding women. And that is, what exactly is their role in the society? Many religious scholars argue that women should be confined to their homes and they should stick to serving the needs of their husbands and rearing the next generation. Modernists argue that women are seen to be simply wasting themselves in a typical Eastern society. They have nothing to do except indulging in gossip and meaningless household problems. In this regard, it needs to be appreciated that the role of women in society can be understood if the following aspects are kept in consideration. 1. The Sharia or divine law revealed by the Almighty is very brief and succinct. The thesis is that human intellect can itself discover the way out in most affairs. It is only at certain crossroads where it is bound to falter that Islam interferes to guide it. In this affair of gender and social interaction too, this affair which one comes across so often, only certain guiding points have been provided. In this regard, as far as the Sharia is concerned, broadly speaking, Islam has given principal guidelines in matters such as the formation and dissolution of a family, its organization under a head, the dress code, and behavioral conduct in social contact. 2. While stating the Sharia, there is a directive which the Quran gives in this regard in its lofty style, the brevity of which touches sublimity. It states, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةٌ وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. And just as according to society's norms, these women have obligations towards their husbands, they also have rights, although men as husbands have a status above women. Surah number 2, verse 228. This divine directive, a mere few words, covers a world of wisdom and sagacity. Evidently, it ends once and for all the debate regarding the role of women. What is implied is very clear. It is the sound conventions and traditions of a society which govern the responsibilities and rights of women. In other words, it is the collective conscience of a society that determines them. Also, since the conventions and customs of different societies can be different, these rights and responsibilities can be different in different societies. Who should raise children and look after them, who should cook the food, and who should clean the house are all matters in which we must look towards traditions and customs of a society. If they do not contradict the Sharia and are also not against morality and universal norms of sense and reason, they should be adhered to. 3. Consequently, women have before them a whole arena of activities. They can do everything which is not against the healthy conventions of their society. They should educate themselves as far as they can and contribute positively to the society through their intellect, talent, and ability. Earning for themselves is certainly not prohibited. They can pursue careers just as men can. However, as pointed out, they should always give due respect to the precepts of the Sharia. We now turn to the general misconceptions and some nagging questions that have arisen regarding Islam and women. 1. Women are less sensible than men. The following hadith is generally presented to support the view that women are less sensible than men. Abu Sayyid al-Khudri narrated, "Once the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam set off for the prayer place on the occasion of Eid al-Fitr or Eid al-Azha. He passed by a group of women and said, 'And I have seen no one more than you rob even a resolute man of his senses in spite of being naqisati aql wa deen.' They said, 'O Allah's Messenger, what is this naqs in our religious and worldly affairs?' He said, 'Is not the evidence of a woman equal to half of a man's?' They said, 'Yes.' He said, 'This is the naqs in their worldly affairs.' He said, 'Is it not a fact that when they enter the period of menses, they neither pray nor fast?' They said, 'Yes.' Whereupon he said, 'This is the naqs in their religious affairs.'" Al-Bukhari, Volume 1, page 116, Hadith number 298. This misconception has arisen because of a wrong translation of the Arabic word naqisat aql wa deen. The word naqs has generally been translated as defective, keeping in view the Urdu meaning of the word. However, in Arabic, the word naqasa means to reduce, and the word aql here means worldly affairs, since it is used in conjugation with the word deen or religion. Keeping in view both these aspects, the correct translation of the above phrase, if the context is also taken into consideration, is that women have been given a relief and reduction in their worldly and religious affairs. The relief in worldly responsibilities, as is mentioned in this hadith, is that women have not been dragged in certain activities and affairs. For example, the Quran urges men to testify on legal documents so that women are relieved of appearing in courts and wasting their precious time on affairs which others can handle. Only if men are not available should a society involve women in such affairs. The relief women have been given in religious affairs is that they are not required to pray or fast during their monthly periods, as is mentioned in this hadith. So what must be kept in mind is the fact that the meaning of a word does not always remain the same in two different languages. For example, the word ghaliz in Arabic means firm, while in Urdu it means dirty. Thus the Quran is referred to marriage as mithaqan ghaliza, or a firm agreement. Moreover, people who think that women are less sensible than men on the basis of this hadith do not realize that the hadith is not merely saying that women are naqisati aql, it is also saying that they are naqisati deen. If naqisati aql means that there is some defect in their aql or intellect, then by the same token, naqisati deen should mean that there is also some shortcoming in the religion they follow. This, of course, is absurd, and as referred to above, is the result of keeping the Urdu meaning of the word in consideration. 2. Women must travel with a mahram. Most scholars are of the opinion that women cannot travel alone. They must be accompanied by a mahram who is a relative with whom marriage is prohibited. Therefore, in journeys such as Hajj, they do not allow women to travel alone. The following ahadith are the basis of their view. Abu Hurairah narrates that the Prophet said, "It is not permissible for a woman who believes in Allah and the last day to travel a distance for one day and one night without a mahram with her." Muslim, Volume 2, page 977, Hadith number 1339. Abu Sa'id narrates that the Prophet said, "A woman has been stopped from traveling a distance for 2 days except with her husband or mahram with her." Muslim, Volume 2, page 976, Hadith number 827. It needs to be appreciated that there are a number of ahadiths in which directives have been given by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the well-being of the Muslims. However, if the circumstances in which such directives have been given change, then, as is the case with all conditional directives, such directives may no longer apply in the changed circumstances. The directives given to Muslim women about traveling belong to the above-mentioned category. To ensure a safe journey for a woman and to protect her moral character from any scandalous allegation in the strife-ridden society of Arabia, the Prophet bade them travel with a mahram relative. Thus, all tours and journeys, etc., in which the above two bases still exist, the condition of a woman traveling with a mahram must be followed. However, with the changed circumstances of modern times, traveling has become a lot different from what it used to be in previous days. There are some travels in which safety, both physical as well as moral, is ensured. So, in such cases, the mahram condition no longer applies. As far as the decision as to which journeys have become safe is concerned, the traveler must decide for herself. 3. Men are superior to women. It is argued by some people that men are superior to women. They present the following verses in support of their view. الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم. Men are the guardians of women because God has given the one more preference over the other and because they support them. Surah number 4, verse 34. Another Quranic verse reads, وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً And husbands hold a degree of superiority over them. Surah number 2, verse 228. It needs to be appreciated that as per the Quran, men and women as human beings are equal and deserve equal respect. However, they have been entrusted with different responsibilities in a family setup which make them superior to one another in various respects. According to the Quran, as far as a husband is concerned, one sphere of his superiority is his status as the head of the family, alluded to by the words of the verse quoted above, that is, husbands are one degree superior to their wives. There are certain spheres in which women by nature, physical, physiological, as well as psychological, are superior to men and much more suitable to do certain tasks. Thus, the verse under consideration speaks of the relative superiority of a husband to his wife, and that too in responsibility and status, in just one sphere, and cannot be generalized to men and women. Two reasons have been discussed in the verse under discussion for granting husband this status. Firstly, because generally they are physically and temperamentally more suited to this task, and secondly, because they have been entrusted with the responsibility of earning for the family. It also needs to be appreciated in this regard that Islam does not forbid women to earn a living. It has only relieved them of the responsibility of earning which lies upon their husbands. It also needs to be understood that the verse does not say that the one among the husband or wife who supports the family should become the head. Husbands, whether their wives earn or not, are liable for this responsibility. A woman may earn if she likes or if some need arises, but since she has not been entrusted with this duty, she has not been given the governing position in the family. Here it would be appropriate to analyze another concept which has also contributed to the notion that men are superior to women. As per a hadith, a woman is created from the rib of a man, referring to the fact that Eve was created from Adam's rib and thus was a secondary being. The text of the hadith is, Abu Hurairah reports that Allah's Prophet said, Treat women nicely, for a woman is created from a rib, and the most curved portion of the rib is its upper portion. So, if you should try to straighten it, it will break. But if you leave it as it is, it will remain crooked. So treat women nicely. Al-Bukhari, Al-Jami' al-Sahih, Volume 3, page 1212, Hadith number 3153. It needs to be appreciated that according to the Quran, Eve was not created from Adam's rib. The first verse of Surah Nisa explicitly states that the first man and woman, that is Adam and Eve, were created directly by the Almighty. The verse states, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَّفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً ۚ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامَ ۚ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. Mankind, fear your Lord, who created you from a single person and created of like species his mate. And from these two scattered countless men and women in this world, and fear God through whom you seek mutual help, and fear breaking blood relationships. Indeed, God is watching over you. Surah number 4, verse 1. Some people translate this verse as, It is He who has created you from a single person, Adam, and then He created from him his wife, that is Eve. They explain this verse by saying that Eve was created from the rib of Adam. This misleading translation has probably arisen because of a literal translation of the Arabic words وَخَلَكَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. And the translation is, and created from it, that is the initial soul, his wife. Actually, the word minha, or from the soul, does not imply that Eve was made from Adam. It rather implies that Eve was made from the same species as Adam. A similar verse points to this interpretation. وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. It has God who has made from your species your mates. Surah number 16, verse 72. A literal translation of the words جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا of above quoted verse, which are similar to خَلَكَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا, would mean, it is God who has created your mates from you, implying that every wife is made from her husband, as Eve was. This, of course, is incorrect. The word anfus, which is the plural of nafs, in this verse means genre or species and not physical being. As far as the actual hadith quoted above is concerned, it needs to be appreciated that in Arabic the words created from do not necessarily refer to the substance of creation. They can also refer to the nature of something. For example, the Quran says, man has been created from hastiness, Surah number 21, verse 37. This does not, of course, mean that man's substance is hastiness. It only refers to his nature. Secondly, if all the textual variants of the hadith under discussion are collected and analyzed, it becomes evident that the Prophet Muhammad has compared the nature of a woman with a rib. The comparison subtly alludes to the fact that a woman's nature is very delicate and tender, as well as a bit adamant. The Prophet has advised men to treat them tactfully, keeping in view this nature. Instead of forcing them to accept a particular point of view, men should try to convince and persuade them.